For President Biden to meet his goal of cutting U.S. emissions in half, he's going to need help from farmers. Agriculture makes up a tenth of total U.S. emissions. And while the White House hasn't yet laid out how it wants to address those emissions, some farms have already gotten a head start. Here and Now's Dean Russell looks at one small farm trying to make a big difference.
This is Raina. She's about 4 feet tall, blonde, with big black eyes, and she sprawled out under a warm April sun, munching on grass and hay, quietly.
Mooing means the cow is in distress, or sending an alert or warning, or startled by something. A quiet cow is a happy cow.
A quiet cow is also a gassy cow, because even though you might not hear it, all day, cows belch out hundreds of liters of methane, a powerful greenhouse gas. That's why I came here, to Stuart Lundy and Natalie McGill's 50-acre farm in Accomack County, Virginia. Since 2010, the couple has been raising livestock here, unconventionally. They want to reduce emissions and slow climate change.
There's kind of this movement of people around our age that they're first-generation farmers. They read a lot. They research a lot. They're actually quite political, and they care about the climate.
Still, meat and dairy farms account for between 15 and 18% of global emissions. The simplest solution would be to just go vegan, stop raising animals for food, specifically beef and dairy, which account for the majority of livestock emissions. But Stuart and Natalie see things a little different.
It's not the cow, it's the how.
And what exactly does that mean?
It means that the cow isn't the problem, it's where it is.
Where it is. In other words, the farm. There are two main ways to reduce cow emissions. One, make your herd less gassy. Two, turn your land into a carbon sink. Essentially offset the emissions your cows inevitably produce. Stuart and Natalie taking me on a tour where I can see both methods in action. For instance, think of a typical feedlot. Large stretches of churned up, denuded soil, packed with cows. All that land isn't really doing much for the climate. Here, we walk through large sections of dense, carbon-hungry trees. Permanent beds, they tell me, mixed in with grass and small vegetable plots. Looks a little more like a forest than a farm. And all that green is breathing in carbon, fixing it into the ground.
So we have a rule here on our farm that a bed, once it's done, the soil needs to be covered in some way. It cannot remain just bare.
There are only 11 cows here. In part because fewer cows means fewer emissions. Stuart also says they use a somewhat rare cattle breed called Piney Woods. Imagine Texas Longhorns on a diet. The reason they raise Piney Woods?
They're thrifty, they're less gassy. All of that contributes.
Natalie and Stuart have a dozen examples of what they say are climate-friendly cow practices. Rotational grazing, less fertilizer, covered manure, mycorrhizal fungus, putting something called biochar in the soil. There were so many things I'd never heard of that I started to wonder, are these things for real?
I love it. These farmers sound like true ecologists. They sound like they've got the whole ecosystem all figured out. I love it.
That's Daniela Cusack, assistant professor at Colorado State University. Without visiting Stuart and Natalie's farm, Cusack said she couldn't be sure of their emissions reductions, but she said it sounded like they were doing all the right things. Last month, Cusack and her colleagues published a study on beef emissions. They looked at 292 global comparisons of conventional versus sustainable farms like Stuart and Natalie's. Cusack says they were surprised by the result.
If these strategies are implemented to sort of their best capacity, we could reduce beef greenhouse gases by almost 50%. So that was a lot.
A lot, but not everyone I called was so optimistic.
Really, this small tinkering with technologies doesn't address the overall problem.
Marco Springman, senior researcher at Oxford University. Springman says reducing emissions is great, but unless it's on a massive scale, it's kind of like a Band-Aid. Most food in the U.S. comes from conventional farms.
Farmers have very little incentive to change what they're doing. So they need credible ways of diversifying their production and slowly moving away from a high reliance on livestock.
In the U.S., that means moving federal subsidies away from cash crops like corn, instead backing things like sustainable practices. It also might mean taxing meat, which could decrease demand, though not without raising questions about how to do that equitably. Studies show reducing global meat and dairy consumption by 75%, cutting red meat to, you know, one meal a week, something like that, that could slice off a huge chunk of global emissions. Like if all the U.S. stopped emitting except for maybe Florida. Natalie and Stuart are already there, eating less meat, waiting maybe for the rest of us to catch up.
If we choose to, you know, do what good we can to fight climate change here on our little piece of land, I feel like it will, in the long run, make things better.
For Here Now, I'm Dean Russell.